Hey, Ellen, I'm very excited about the next guest you invited in. She's an aspiring healthcare professional, apparently.
Her name is?
Young lady?
Regina.
Regina. No last name? That's okay.
Hi, Regina. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, not a problem. I'm happy to be here.
And you're here to explain to us the Obamacare?
Not really. I didn't prepare that at all.
So. Oh. Okay. What profession are you actually going into? Are you an aspiring nurse?
No. I go to medical school at SUNY Stony Brook.
Oh.
To be a doctor.
To be a doctor?
Yes.
Are there many young women in this program?
I would say it's about 50%.
50%?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I think it's harder to get in as a woman.
And how long? Oh, really? Why do you think that's the case?
There are just a lot of aspiring female doctors out there. A lot of men want to go into banking and that kind of thing now.
So. Because? Do you think?
It makes more money.
Oh. So you're not out for the bucks, huh?
No, not at all.
But do you plan on going to dermatology or one of the more lucrative?
There are about 400 other professions I would rather do than be a dermatologist.
Oh, why is that?
I don't really like skin very much.
That's a very good reason. Let me ask you, so this is just your, did you tell us what year you're in?
No, I just completed my first semester.
Oh, mm-hmm. Does that mean you had your own cadaver?
I shared my cadaver with three other people.
Oh my goodness.
And for those who don't know, a cadaver is a dead person.
Even I know that.
Well, you never know, you know? So what was it like cutting open a person, a dead person?
I thought I'd be a lot more scared than I ended up being.
Scared? What did you think it was going to come alive?
No. It's hard to separate them as a person from their body that's teaching us. Because you do want to separate them as a person and what you're doing in order to perform a lot of the tasks appropriately, like cutting open their spinal cord and stuff like that. You can't really be thinking of them as a person at that moment. But then you also have to walk a fine line because you need to respect them as a person as well. So you have to be like running this course in between the two in order to be successful, I think.
So you don't tell jokes around the cadaver?
We did think our cadaver was a sassy woman.
Sassy?
What made you think that?
She was 91 when she died. And she had a ton of surgeries, and she was, you could tell she's walked up until the end, probably, because her leg muscles were pretty large. She just seemed like she was a fighter. I don't know. She had a mastectomy on one side, so that must have been
hard.
Did
she have a normal-sized heart?
It was actually very small.
Did you actually remove the heart?
Yeah.
You had it in your hands?
It was pretty cool, yeah. You can actually put, like, You're making a face?
No. We're on radio. Remember, I'm allowed
to make faces. Sorry.
And you're not supposed to point that
out. So you put a probe, it's a long metal thing, through it, and you can actually trace the way the blood goes into the heart, out of the heart, back into the heart, and back out to the body. It's pretty cool.
At what point do you, of course, you don't ever forget that it's a person, but you must get fascinated with what you're discovering and actually seeing a spinal cord, for example, and...
Yeah, it's funny. The most interesting things are the things that aren't interesting to the naked eye. So the brain is really fascinating, right? But you open up the head, the skull case, and it's just sort of a blob, I would say. Whereas to me, that's the most interesting part of the body. So it was actually more that I was shocked. I actually really enjoyed the stomach and the intestines because they were pretty cool looking. And the liver. The liver is huge. Huge.
Hmm.
I would show you, but we're on radio, as Thomas just reminded me. So,
with these organs, do you remove them and handle them?
Yeah. Oh, the brain we took out of the body. The heart we took out. The colon we cut out and put it in a bag. Well, saved it.
Oh, really? For what?
There are some characteristics you need to know for the test. Yeah.
So do you have any specialty in mind at the moment?
Not really. I'm really open. I know I don't want to be a surgeon at this point. I might regret saying that on radio later when I'm applying to surgery residencies, but right now I don't think I'm going to be a surgeon. I just shadowed at the neonatal intensive care unit last week, and that was amazing.
How so?
Well, you just see these children. I saw one child who was 25 weeks. Normal gestation is 40 weeks. So that's really young.
And what was the effect? I mean, what was so amazing about that?
Well, unlike a regular intensive care unit, you're trying to get these people to live a normal, full life after they leave. In an intensive care unit, obviously, you're trying to get people to be healthy, but people are more towards the end. The main goal is to get children out of the NICU, we call it.
So what inspired you to become, to aspire to be a doctor?
This is like a personal statement now.
Well, you know, however you want to take it.
I really liked science when I was growing up. I think it wasn't pushed that hard for girls, I think, but it was, I really enjoyed it. And then...
Were your parents doctors?
No, not at all.
Really?
I try to explain things to them and it's like talking to a wall.
Really?
But, but it's cool when I explain things to them. I was explaining cranial nerves to my mother last month and that was... She got the general concept.
Do you have siblings?
No, I'm an only child.
Oh, your parents sound very selfish people.
No, they're very extremely giving people.
Really?
That's yeah, they nice. Always prioritize education.
Yeah.
So,
would you say your father was more like Atticus Finch or Homer Simpson?
A perfect combination of the two, I would say. You know, serious and good role model, but at the same time, he knows how to like crack a fart joke. So.
Excuse me, we're not allowed to curse.
Sorry.
On.
Sorry.
That sounds like an amazing combination of talents.
Sure.
Regina, somebody told me that you like to cook.
I do, yeah.
And I went on your website.
Oh, you did?
At one point. It's called Regina Learns to Cook.
Regina Learns How to Cook. I actually changed the website since then.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called now?
It's called Regina Cooks It Paleo, but I haven't, with med school, I haven't had a chance to blog in a few months. So.
Well, did you learn to cook? Is that why you changed the title?
I think, yeah, it was no longer a progression of me learning how to cook. It became mm-hmm. more about trying to make things up newly and not just following recipes.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, it's time to go back on that site then.
Yeah. I need to start
what
blogging
again. What is this
again.
Paleo stuff you're talking about?
The paleo diet?
Mm.
Do you do the paleo diet?
This is not about me.
Oh, I apologize. The paleo diet's kind of this trendy, you might say, diet that CrossFit endorses. It's CrossFit.
What's CrossFit?
CrossFit's a gym. It's unlike any other kind of working out I've ever done, and it's functional fitness. So you use your body weight, but you also use barbell movements. It's a combination of cardio movements, weightlifting, Olympic weightlifting, gymnastics. It's really cool, and you do it in a class with about 10 other people usually.
I heard it's a cult.
I'm a fan of cults, honestly.
Do you have a secret handshake?
No, that was in my sorority. I had a secret handshake.
Oh, you were in a sorority, were you?
Yeah, and we have a secret handshake. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's get back to this CrossFit cult, as you mm-hmm. acknowledge. Do they have any rules that you're not allowed to share that you might, since you're semi-anonymous here?
Well, I saw a meme on the internet. It said, CrossFit is like Fight Club, except you're supposed to tell everyone about it.
Uh-huh.
So, no, there's
yes,
no secrets.
I find the people who have, the people I know in CrossFit do tend to talk about it way too much.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say about it?
They just go on about their, what they call their WODs, WOD, mm-hmm. the workout of the day.
It's like,
who cares? You know, as if that's of interest to anyone other than the person who's doing it.
I post...
Sorry, I didn't mean to insult you.
It's okay. I don't mind. I only post photos of myself doing it or...
you only post photos of yourself?
Actually, my father does it too. So I recently posted a photo of the two of us working out.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, and then I just signed up for my first competition. So I posted that on
Facebook. What do
you mean that? What's the competition?
It's going to be in Long Island where I go to medical school. It's 2 days long. It's 2 days long, and it's, I think, 5 or 6 workouts that you do. And I'm in the scale division because it's my first one. So I'll do less weight and fewer complex movements. Mm. I don't expect to do very well. It's kind of like when I run races. You don't expect to win, but it
really,
pushes yourself.
That doesn't sound like the right attitude to have going into a competition.
I just don't want to set my expectations too high, quite honestly.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's a good rule. Did you learn that from your parents, that...
No, they're constantly setting my expectations too high.
Are they? They really sound like horrible people. I'm sorry to say that.
Yeah. Tom.
What?
You know, on air, you're You're castigating some people you don't even know.
I know, I know. But let's face it, they sound very selfish, very self-involved. And, I mean, one child, I mean, that's...
All right, I'm going to change the subject.
Okay, sorry.
Regina, how do you find the time to work out and to cook when you're also in medical school? I understand that medical school is quite grueling.
Well, I think it's all about balance. There are definitely people in my class who don't do those things. Mm-hmm. But I think it's about what you prioritize. Again, we have pass-fail honors as our grading system. Kind of in order to live your life, unless you're really, really smart, honors would be great, but I'm not staying up all night to do it. I like to sleep 7 hours to 8 hours a night. I like to work out at least 4 times a day. So, I think it's just prioritizing and really making sure you're not spending, you know, an hour on Facebook, an hour watching Hulu, and making all your time packed full with stuff you really enjoy.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. Sounds like you're a well-balanced person.
Thank you. Thank you. I try really hard to be well-balanced.
You could teach us all a few lessons, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm very...
unbalanced?
I guess the word is unbalanced. it's very hard to keep the various dimensions of your life, you know, balanced.
I am constantly distracted. I don't like Facebook, but I go on it every once in a while, and I've lost at least 1 hour. I mean, it's very easy to get
always say that every episode, or should we say edition of this show, I learned something new about the distinguished Ellen Thurston, and this time I learned that Ellen's on Facebook, and that really upsets me because I wonder why she's not my friend on Facebook.
It could have to do with the fact that you don't have Facebook.
And how would you know that?
I tried to look you up before going on the show.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you could be friends with people on Facebook even if you weren't on Facebook, though.
I
don't know.
I know nothing about Facebook, and I don't know how I would befriend somebody or unfriend somebody.
Oh.
In fact, I don't even know what like means. I like something, as they say on Facebook. And then I think, do I have to push something else? Like, do I have to enter or something to...
See, I was confused. I thought it meant that you had something that was similar to something else.
Oh, as if. Maybe that is what it means.
Have you tweeted yet? Ellen, have you tweeted?
No, I don't tweet.
Have you tumbled?
I don't tumble either.
Have you flickered?
No.
Regina, have you done any of those things?
I've never flickered.
So you have tweeted and tumbled.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What's the difference? What's a Tumblr?
Who did you tumble with? Sorry.
A Tumblr? Actually, the blog that you went on was the Tumblr. Easier way of blogging.
I see.
It simplifies the user interface.
Well, that's nice. Good to know.
Are you thinking of starting a blog?
Yes, because I do publish a newsletter that I send out in a very laborious way. And if I had a website or a blog, I'd still have to let my followers know that there was a new post, perhaps.
How many people get your email, your weekly email?
I think it's about, I'd say close to 2,000.
Wow.
Because it's on a lot of listservs, and the listservs can have like 100 people, you know.
Why don't you give out that email address while we're on?
Oh, all right.
Unless you don't want more.
Of course. Why not? The more the merrier. The name of the list or the newsletter is Much To Do About Hudson, and you can ask to have it sent to you via email by writing to thurston@mhonline.net. Thank you for that, Tom.
Oh, well, you know, since we're into a little self-promotion here.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, my monthly show, which I began my tenure here at...
Your radio career.
...career, is Mambo Italiano, and it's this Sunday, December 22nd. And it is the third edition. That's how long I've been doing this.
Wow.
The third edition of Buon Natale, which is Italian speak for
Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Regina. And I'll be playing one of the things that all my paisans, as they call them, have provided us with are songs to celebrate the holiday season. Frank Sinatra did a Christmas album. Tony Bennett did a Christmas album. Dean Martin did a Christmas album. Connie Francis did a Christmas album. And it goes on like that. So I am going to, of course, curate.
That's what we do here.
We're curators.
We're tastemakers.
We're tastemakers. Trendsetters, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And this show will be all those plus more. Oh, think Julius LaRosa, Mario Lanza, Vic Damone. It just goes on. It just, you know.
Lady Gaga?
Has she done a Christmas song?
No, I don't think so.
Well, if she has, she'll be there. Because
Gwen Stefani.
As we know, Lady Gaga's name is? Do you know that, Regina?
Stephanie Germanotta.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you spoke Italian.
I don't. I only know food words.
Oh, that's interesting.
I love food.
Sounds Parmigiana.
I do not put that on my
Ellen,
food.
Oh, you hurt me when you say something like that.
Why? I say it wrong.
No, just that, like, this is like, I hear this up here. Like, people tell me they love Italian food, and they say, like, chicken parm. They don't even say chicken parmigiana or whatever. They say chicken parm.
Eggplant rollatini.
Eggplant rollatini. Help me. Help me.
Oh.
But that's all right.
Sorry.
That's,
oh,
you know.
Don't apologize.
There's no need. You're right. Chicken parm's chicken parm.
My favorite is parpadelle noodles. Have you heard of those?
Mm-hmm.
Those are good. My uncle used to have a restaurant, and he made parpadelle noodles with wild boar sauce.
Wild boar.
It was the best thing I've ever eaten in my life.
The best?
Where do you find a boar these days?
I don't know.
Some people say right here. And I'm not Sorry.
I certainly
didn't mean you.
I was feeding you that line. I was feeding you that line.
You know, I sometimes think we're kind of like, what do you think? I think Crosby and Hope.
We're Crosby and Hope.
Martin and Lewis?
Who's who, though?
That's, I know, it's rough. It's rough to figure out.
Hard to figure out.
You're
George and Gracie.
Oh, there we go.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. That's a little before your time, young Regina.
I would say so, yeah.
More questions for the young lady, Ellen?
Well, tell me what is it paleo? What is that diet like?
Well, that's a loaded question. A lot of people have a lot of different opinions about what the diet is. For me, I try to say what you can eat on it. So the word paleo comes from Paleolithic. So the idea is you eat what our ancestors ate before there was huge agribusiness. So you eat vegetables, meat, nuts, fruit.
No fruit?
No, fruits. I'm saying everything
fruit.
You can eat.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the things you can eat, yeah.
You know, Paleolithic man died out.
They did. It
couldn't have been from their diet?
It could have been. I don't know what they died from. I mean, they also didn't have medicine,
yeah,
as we know it, right? To me, I've lost so much weight on it that it works, and so I'm not going to stop doing it because there are some people who don't like it out there.
So the idea is not to eat things that are that had to be farmed
that
or
are white.
Or
like parpadella.
Oh, I don't eat that anymore. But
I
think the point, I try not to say what it's not, though.
Oh.
Because I read...
I believe that's called a positive attitude.
Well, I read a book saying, a Michael Pollan book about how the anti-food group issue is actually a big problem because we got into this no-fat thing in the late 80s, I think. And people took out fat from their food, but substituted those calories with worse calories. And right now it's all about no gluten. So I really want to distinguish the paleo diet as the things you can eat and not a gluten-free diet. That's not what it is.
So, but included in what you can eat, I don't hear anything about carbs so far.
Well, you can eat potatoes, sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a carb. Fruit's a carb. Cashews have carbs. No, they don't.
They have fat.
They have fat and protein, yeah.
I think fat and salt really taste good. That's why I have them in my diet.
Oh,
you should have salty cashews. Oh, I like to eat an avocado. I'll eat an avocado straight out. That's a really good fat,
mm-hmm,
and you can put a lot of salt on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with its own little bowl. So
sugar is also very good. I've discovered.
I've noticed you sitting there eating your celebratory chocolate cheesecake. Are you having a sugar rush right now?
Yes. Well, the problem is it's hard to talk when you have a mouthful of chocolate. It sort of gets in the way.
Could be worse. Could be peanut butter.
Almond butter on the paleo diet.
Oh.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Legumes are not. Legumes are a function of agriculture, so you don't eat those.
Oh, before agriculture.
Yeah, so peanuts are mass-produced in order to feed. That's why peanut butter is so much cheaper than almond butter and cashew butter. And they also have lectins in them. I'm not sure what lectins are, but apparently they're bad.
Banish lectins.
Banish lectins, yep.
Do you know, it's interesting. I remember when I first had a regular doctor. I won't say. I mean,
your doctor was irregular before that.
No, I mean
you should have given
that
some
I
prunes.
Felt the need as an adult to go to a doctor.
Oh,
and there was nothing particularly wrong with me, but a friend of mine had developed a brain tumor, and
that's not funny.
Went to had to go to the doctor to find out what was wrong.
Right.
And I decided that I needed a doctor who knew what I looked like when I was healthy, you know. But doctors during that era, I don't know where this is leading, but never would ask you about exercise or diet. They wouldn't talk about nutrition.
Interesting.
Which I think now things must have changed and that this is part of the conversation.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We have a course where we learn how to take a patient history, a very detailed patient history, more detailed than you've probably ever been asked these questions. But part of it is asking about how much you exercise, what you eat. If you don't eat well, do you want to change your eating habits and can we help you with that? One question that I find a little silly is, do you wear a seatbelt? I'm not sure if the doctor telling you to wear a seatbelt is really going to change your, or if you're going to tell the truth.
Well, you know, I have a beef to pick with the medical profession. They always ask me how much you drink.
That is required in a patient.
Yeah, none of your
and
God
smoke.
Darn business.
It's up there with smoking, isn't it?
Well, I think that's not hard for them to figure out.
I mean, but the idea here is you want to
smell like an ashtray.
You want to give the doctor every information you possibly can, because if something goes wrong or if you're undergoing a procedure or if they're prescribing a medication like Ambien that doesn't work with people's heavy drinking habits.
Oh, you kidding me? It's a great combo.
I have no comment on that.
Okay, sorry. Can you write prescriptions yet?
No, definitely not.
Damn. Back to that drinking thing, you know, a couple of doctors asked me that, and I asked them if they drink, and they never want to answer, but I think it's crucial, because if they don't drink, anything I say, they're going to say, that's too much.
Not necessarily.
I think so.
I mean, we haven't learned to tell people that's too much, but we also haven't learned how to diagnose someone, so we're just trying to gather information, and part of that is your drink habits, and then there are a few other questions we ask.
Well, you know, if he's shaking... If there's that big thing coming out of his liver, that's usually a bad sign.
The colostomy bag?
No, you know, I'm sorry. No, miss. What do they call it? Distended liver.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I wanted to be a doctor once.
What stopped you?
Not being very bright at science, among other things.
Yeah, that might stop someone from being a doctor. You do have to take a lot of science courses, and you have to like it.
Yeah, that was the hard part, liking it.
Yeah. I just find it really interesting.
Well, Ellen, should we wrap this up with our guest? Or do you have any?
I have one last question, okay. And that is, do they give you classes in doctor-patient relationship or bedside manner or?
Yeah, that's the course that I was describing.
Oh.
And... It is a great course. I actually did research in doctor-patient communication when I was in undergrad at University of Chicago. And so I find this all very interesting. But the course is geared toward your life as a doctor. So we learn about LGBT issues, how to recognize interpersonal violence with a patient, We have topics every week that are different. And then along the way, we also work with standardized patients who are paid actors who come in with an ailment. They're always clutching themselves, though. It's a little much, you know, clutching their arm or whatever hurts. And you have to act like you're their doctor and you're being filmed the whole time and you get graded on that.
Do they sometimes like bluff you with like clutching the wrong body part?
No, because we're not learning how to diagnose. But yeah, they have all different kinds of ailments and you have to be there with them. Sometimes someone's watching you. So it's pretty cool. And I try to walk in and really pretend that I'm their doctor. And I honestly, or filmed, or that I'm a student. I'm just there to be with that patient.
So by pretending to be a doctor, does that mean you assume that you're smarter than everybody else?
No, I would say okay. No. I mean, some of the patients have jobs like in, or their character has a job in nanotechnology, like in Riverhead, or, you know, so they, I would never do that to a patient.
I see.
I think there are certain jobs for certain people.
Well, it's like, that kind of role playing, I feel that that's what we do here at WGXC. At least Tom and I, we're sort of playing at radio. At least I feel I'm playing at radio.
I have my radio persona and I have my walking around town persona. Mm-hmm. I have my home persona. Mm-hmm. And
speaking of home persona, Dad, what are we having for dinner?
I'm not your father. You're not supposed to tell anybody that.
Okay.
I'm getting a little hungry here.
Okay.
He made me eggs and bacon this morning. It was delicious.
No, that's okay. You can tell I made eggs and bacon. And you can tell people you're my daughter and that your name fully is Regina Heil DiPietro.
Yes.
Child
Will
of
you do
mine.
My laundry tomorrow?
Not likely. But, you know, I don't really like you using the laundry machine on your own.
He treats me like I'm still 11.
No, I don't let your mother use it either.
Or the dishwasher for that matter.
Right. Because you guys don't seem to know how to do it. They really don't.
You could like
so
teach.
you do it all?
Correct.
You do all of that?
I do.
Wow.
Indeed.
Wow.
He's a great dad.
What are you challenging my masculinity?
No. I'm in awe.
it's more like obsessional behavior, I think.
Yeah. He was
it's good obsessional behavior though.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, I'm driving force behind me. Not like he forced me to go into medicine, but made me, you know, really care about my education and getting the most out of it and doing all my assignments.
Shucks, thanks.
Yeah, it was a good influence, I would say.
You didn't mind being tied down to chairs?
That never happened. The only thing I wasn't allowed to do is watch a Jerry Springer show.
You don't remember how I always used to stir a little Adderall into your milk, did you?
I've never taken Adderall.
What is Adderall?
It's a drug to treat ADD.
Oh,
but people take it off prescription, not like off label, like their doctor, like people sell it and college people sold it to stay up late and,
I see.
Really do your work intensely. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's considered cheating. Some people would say it's considered cheating. Others.
Not me.
Really?
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, you know, steroids, whatever it takes.
Oh, Tom, he doesn't mean that. I just want to assure our listeners he doesn't mean that.
Are you worried about liability for the station?
Does Tom DiPietro condone steroids? I can see the headlines now.
Yeah, I don't think really anybody care less if I condone steroids. But, you know, I've known a couple steroid users in my day. They regret it.
Well, it doesn't actually make you stronger. It makes you look better, but it doesn't physically. And it gives you female characteristics if you're a male. So,
what are you implying?
What do you mean?
Oh, I thought you were referring back to that business about the dishwasher and the laundry machine.
No. You don't look like you take steroids.
I'm not sure if that's an insult.
That
or
was, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
The former.
Okay, well, enough of you. I mean, sorry, I think we're finished with this interview.
Regina, it's been great to
it's
have
you. It's been wonderful
here.
To have you on there. I'm so proud of you. I adore you and worship you and...
It's getting
so
weird now.
I know, right?
It's getting weird. I'm just going to walk out now.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Don't let the door or whatever.
That goes. Wait, is the door unlocked at home?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to tell everybody.
Oh,
on the
shoot.
Air. They're
I
all
can't
gonna,
believe I just said
you better
that
run
loud.
Home and get there.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I mean, no one knows where you live, but okay. Bye.
Wow. Man. What a whirlwind.
Wow. Not bad, huh?
Not bad at all. In fact, she's adorable.